Hello everyone, welcome to our podcast, Decolonizing Business Studies, Local Meaning of Empowerment Through Entrepreneurship and Innovation, The Case of Pakistan. So this podcast is a result of the collaboration between University of Zurich, University of Humboldt, and our very dear colleagues from IIM Sciences and King's College London. And we come together thanks to INFACT, which is an academic collaboration for introducing futures. Dr. Salma.
Thank you very much, Dr. Faiza. My name is Dr. Salma Amir, and I am a lecturer at the Institute of Management Sciences, Peshawar, Khyber Pakhtunkhwa, Pakistan. I teach gender and development to the business studies student, and as well as development studies. I have experience both as academics and as well as development practitioner. My interests are in microfinance, microenterprise development, and women's empowerment. And I have a PhD research on the same topics.
Salman.
Thank you, Faiza. So I'm Salman. I'm based at as a postdoctoral research associate at the Department of Geography in the School of Social Science and Public Policy at King's College London. My primary research interests are on marketplaces and institutional analysis, the issues of power and empowerment. And recently, I have become more interested in women's economic activities and women's marketplaces, particularly in Pakistan.
And I'm Faiza. I'm working as a postdoc fellow at Humboldt University's Berlin's Institute for Asian and African Studies. And my research project is about professionalization of Muslim women in Asia. So a little bit about the project that we are working on, INFACT. So INFACT strives for reconstructing and rewriting how we reproduce or produce knowledge in terms of research methodologies and research ethics. We seek to find out the kind of obstacles and problematics we are facing within academia when conducting participatory research and producing transformative knowledge. And also we ask, how can we challenge hegemonic paradigms in academic knowledge production and translate epistemic decolonization effectively into our own research practices?
So as in this endeavor, we've are basically the Pakistan team of this broader project of INFACT. And we wanted to see how in the local meanings of empowerment through entrepreneurship can be viewed from the lens of the people involved. So we gathered academics, development practitioners, and women entrepreneurs who are actually involved in these businesses on the ground in order to understand and the meanings of empowerment and also decolonize the business studies more broadly, but also development studies and entrepreneurship research, not only in Pakistan, but also raise some of the questions for the developing state context where in the similar context, the issues of empowerment and entrepreneurship are not only debated in the academic literature, but also problems have been highlighted time and again in the development frameworks and development discourses. So to this end, we do not view power as something that is power to or power over, but instead we place greater emphasis on the context and view power as power within, where actors define their meanings of power and empowerment within the context where they are living. And in order to do so, the existing frameworks are not in a way not sufficient enough to deal with those or engage with those contextual specificities. So to this end, we define entrepreneurship as an act of establishing and running a business. And such a broader definition was important for our purposes because we wanted to not only focus on the subsistence entrepreneurs, home-based women entrepreneurs in Pakistan, but also we wanted to highlight the issues related to empowerment through entrepreneurship amid the rising emphasis on the online marketplace participation. And this was especially significant in the post-COVID entrepreneurial landscape because the online market is inaccessible to women. And even if it is accessible, it creates issues of disempowerment rather than empowerment. So for this purpose, and also we understand that technology is, access to technology is socially constructed. Therefore, it was very important to question some of the dominant assumptions in the existing theoretical and development frameworks. And to this end, we organized this online workshop with these actors that I've already mentioned. And the workshop was organized around 5 thematic questions.
So our question number one is that is the entrepreneurship through women-owned home-based micro-enterprises in Pakistan helpful for empowerment, or is it only for survival or sustenance? And secondly, we want to see that was what assumptions of the local academics and development practitioners on the ground guide women's entrepreneurship studies and entrepreneurial development programs in Pakistan. Thirdly, we want to see that how empowerment to entrepreneurship in Pakistan is viewed by local academics and practitioners who are working on the ground with these marginalized women entrepreneurs in Pakistan. Fourth question is that there is a growing focus on innovation through facilitating access to online marketplace. However, we see that some enterprises, they can benefit from this focus, while for others, it may be rather disempowering and may further marginalize them. So how do we draw attention to this trade-off between empowerment and marginalization posed simultaneously by entrepreneurship, innovation, and access to entrepreneurs to online marketplace? And the fifth question, which we have focused on, what are the challenges of turning these ideas into practice? So these were our 5 major thematic areas for thematic questions for the workshop.
So we designed the workshop, we organized these 5 major thematic questions and designed them into 3 workshop activities. Before I provide any details about those activities, I want to highlight that the workshop was an online workshop. And a mix of both synchronous and asynchronous activities, because we wanted to, we gave some pre-workshop questions to the 3 sets of participants, which were academics, development practitioners, and women entrepreneurs. And we wanted to see what do they think about some of these 5 major thematic questions. So we broken them down into a number of sub-questions. And through those questions, we identified some of the activities or some of the case scenarios. So we developed these 3 case scenarios for asking questions around our 5 major thematic questions. And these 3 case scenarios were either given by one of us who have been doing field work in Pakistan for the last couple of years for their different projects, but also some of them came from the participants themselves, maybe academics or development practitioners. So the first activity was developed around a typical case of a women entrepreneur in Pakistan, which is an actor with a pseudonym called Shahida. She was 14 years old when she was married off to a man twice of her age, where her parents establish buy a cow for her and facilitate her husband to have a security job. But in the meantime, she is not seeing the kind of empowerment or not feeling empowered because of those activities, because with the passage of time, when time goes on, her kids grow old and her daughters are helping her with the activities, but the husband, who is also a drug addict, beats her and take the money away from her, whatever she earns. And at the end, he marries one of his daughters off to a person of with the same characteristics as the husband has, i.e. unemployed and being a drug addict, and which increases the burden of Shahida. So she herself asks this question that what will she do with such an empowerment through economic activities, which where there is no respect for the wife, but here we could translate that into where there's no respect for a woman. We organized a couple of questions around these activities, but before we go forward to the next activity, we would want to explain some of the lessons learned from this first part of our workshop.
So these are some of the, there are multiple responses that we have received. And as Salman has discussed that there were sub questions to which we needed to seek answers for. The one response that we have come up with is that empowerment has differential meanings. And even to the ground, grassroots level at the ground, women seek, they have differential meaning to empowerment. And we have seen that all those activities that are focusing to improve the condition of women and that are not challenging to men and that they are in the context of that area, these empowering activities are acceptable and promoted. But if the organizations and the development organization and practitioners started talking about to improve the position of women in that area, which may seem challenging to men, these are not acceptable to some extent. And to the in majority of the cases, they are not accepted. The second major response came that in such cases, in such scenario, financial management techniques and financial literacy is very important for women to learn. And since they are in the business, they are doing a lot of work. So when they have their own saving, they know how to use their entrepreneurial skills, and along with their decision making in those things, they will have more, towards they may lead towards women's economic empowerment. It is also talked about that there is a need to for women to know about their rights, but simultaneously it was discussed that these are men who needs to be aware more about the rights, specifically women's rights. These should be discussed with men as well as with women, because if women know their right, it doesn't make any difference. It is men who have actually controlled their right, women's rights, so they need to be aware with these things.
So the second activity that we organized and we wanted to progress the questions that we asked was about an entrepreneur, which was a progressive entrepreneur. And here we focused on the, some of the development activities. So there's the protagonist in this case is a woman who establishes an embroidery business. And she, by the fact that she is able to travel more as compared to other women due to her family circumstances, she captures the opportunities and employ other women and then visit other parts of the country as a part of the broader development, entrepreneurial trainings or workshops and so on and so forth. And what happens in the meantime that her personal life also evolves as a consequence of her economic progress, where she was engaged to someone and at due to her increased exposure to the the life and the different economic activities, she finds someone who she found herself interested in. And for that matter, she breaks off her previous engagement and decides to get married to the guy whom she met in one of the urban centers. But at the she is unable to do that because the guy backs off at the end, and her life is in a way becomes a model, an unacceptable model for the village where she comes from. So as a consequence of that, the villagers where she is from are opposed to any kind of development interventions aimed at women's economic activities, and which talks about women empowerment through economic activities. So we also broken this down into a number of questions which were translated to our participants in Urdu. But the key lessons learned from these activities were.
So in Rahila's story, the activity number two, there were multiple responses. The two main responses, one, the positive one, and in which there was a support to this kind of activity, they in one of the participants and majority of the participants, they said that there is a need for gender sensitivity along with gender awareness. We need to regulate gender sensitivity because our main focus should be on the results of development. In this regard, the business and personal activities should be kept and dealt separately, like the way we see that men have different business life and different personal life. So women's family and personal issues should not influence negatively on women's business. And a woman may face multiple issues, even if she is not an entrepreneur. So these things should not be linked with her enterprise. However, there were another school of thought in which they said that women entrepreneurs need to learn those strategies that should minimize their risk, criticism, and difficulties they face, and they passively move towards and take their enterprises and one day become a role model, and with the success they have, with the advancement in their enterprises, they can show that they have achieved something. And they can work hard to show that their strength are such an intangible asset in different level. The third thing that arise was personal and mental grooming is very important to learn, because if you are strong enough, you will not let these kind of thing influence and impact on your businesses. So these were some of the lesson responses that came in response to Rahila's activity.
Yes, Salma. So that was very interesting, these insights that you had. So since I'm also working on a similar issue, there was a lady working for an NGO from Balochistan who talked to me about the strategies that she developed. So she said that the popular media interpretations of feminism and talking about smashing patriarchy or something like Aurat March in Pakistan, sometimes that was not the best strategy for her. She had to negotiate. She had to go first to the patriarch itself and talk to them, and then kind of make this friendship with them to the extent that, yes, you can, like not friendship, but maybe trust is the better word. So develop that trust and then make a bridge until she reaches the women. And then at some point, those men were always just encouraging her and supporting her and telling her, you can go and directly talk to the women and we will be there to support you. So that's the story from a far-flung area of Balochistan of a successful school for girls that she has. Yeah.
No, of course. Thank you, Faiza. And I think it is relevant because women want empowerment, but they also want to frame their activities within the existing institutional framework within which they are living, and they don't want to outrightly challenge the structures of power which they would sometimes find themselves in an odd situation. However, so getting from there progressively, we then the third activity, as we have already mentioned, the last two thematic questions were regarding innovations and online marketplaces. So we organized our activity around online marketplaces. But here we were especially aware of the differences of between Pakistani women in who are engaged or who want to engage in online businesses in terms of the urban, the large urban towns and small urban town differences. We were unfortunately unable to look at the rural areas in specific, but fortunately some small towns. So we got this case study from a small rural town where Tanya is one of our protagonists in this case. She establishes an online business after the pandemic. And because of that business, she has increased her reliance on the supply for the supply of her product, which she was already reliant on even in the face-to-face or offline business. But when she switched to online business, she also then her reliance was increased on the male members of her family because she needed to post the goods to her customers in some cases, and for that matter she needs to send someone to the post office. Now here, if an online business is established by a woman in a small town, her reliance in terms of backward and forward linkages increases. But if we asked our participants also in through the same case study, if we engage people in a platform that provides them a kind of a platform that does all these things for them, but that has the danger of those women becoming piece rate or commission workers, which would be further marginalizing them instead of creating inclusion for those women in the online marketplaces. So the activity generated a very lively discussion around the possibilities and the problems around marketplaces. But some of the key lessons learned from this activity were?
So we have seen that it came to our knowledge that as compared to rural women, urban women they are more empowered for online businesses because they are living in urban setup. They have more access to those facilities that are not available for rural women, like internet connection, like the courier service, the postal services, the access, the mobility they have. This was seen that it usually is not available for rural women. We have discussed that the responses were that we need to address issues that refrain women to access marketing and digital marketing. It is not the facilities only, it is not the access to resources only, but it is the mindset and attitude and behavior of the men of that area in which women are living. Whether it's urban or rural, because it's a new thing that has been introduced and there are those issues that have not been faced initially, like women have their mobile numbers and there are different uses of mobiles, accessing directly to the woman, and then there is a permission issue, being available and take timely decisions. And then, of course, there were middlemen. So the role of middlemen, because some of the women, they had their own product, they were developing product. And we have discussed in a small town, they need somebody who can take these things to the post offices, and then they can deliver to the people, to the customer. And then availability of necessities like electricity, marketing of problem, mobility, building reputation, and building trust. We're seeing that these are some of the things that if women have, they can be empowered, and they have a progressive entrepreneurial activity, online innovation. But if they have these kind of problems, it is rather disempowering. The other issue that the very important discussion that came around was digital awareness would be a very, very empowering step in which we have to facilitate women from different areas, not only rural, urban area, but also focusing on rural areas, because rural areas have women entrepreneurs that have very different skills. So we can use their skills, different kind of skills, and we can facilitate them access and marketing skills so that they can use those online facilities. In this regard, one of the very important aspect came where these kind of activities are already happening, and they said that we should, the organization and the practitioner should come with the family friendly approach in which they could train all the family members, and they know that this income is for the family, and this is through women. And if they are not allowing their women to do work like this, they will not be able to. So the one of the most important point that came up with was that there is a need for digital business directory in which there will be information about the skills women have, their contact numbers, their vendors, nearby vendors, so that local and international market can directly contact those women. And if women want to market their products, they know the vendors nearby their areas, and they can contact with their own term and conditions. And there will be minimal role of middlemen, to which many women have actually said that it is a good, because their products are actually sold out without them going out. So, but development of a digital business directory is has come up with a very innovative idea, as we say that there should be a discussion for there should be some work to get it done. It will help women both at the national level. And so this digital business directory will help women entrepreneurs and at the national as well as international level, so that people can access, and they can also access different orders from the customers.
Yeah, that's very interesting, Salma, what you share, because it coincides with most of my findings so far as well from how women have developed those big platforms on Facebook, where they connect business women to vendors, and also they help each other market each other's products, and also how to develop their websites. And they have so many short courses about how to brand, how to make a logo. So all of them somehow form this beautiful network where they provide each other services, and at the same time also create examples of how to frame themselves when they are talking to the community, how to be business women without feeling like a threat to someone, you know, to the system, not being threatening to the system. Yeah.
So after all these three activities, we came up with some of the major lessons learned, both for academic as well as existing development frameworks. So instead of prescriptive solutions, we need more locally informed solutions for, sorry, Faiza. Yeah, so after these three activities, we came up with some broad suggestions or lessons from our workshop, which is not only relevant to Pakistan, but also to broader developing states context where women entrepreneurship under the same patriarchal conditions are going on and being promoted. So instead of prescriptive solutions, I think the importance of locally informed context-based perspective on women entrepreneurship and the resultant empowerment are very important. We found that economic empowerment, women's economic empowerment, may lead to other forms of empowerment, but also there are some limitations to it, which needs to be taken seriously. One of those we highlighted in our activity two and the related lessons learned with that. There is a need for developing a facilitative, conducive environment for women entrepreneurship that is not only important for or necessary for the development of entrepreneurial activities and more inclusive environment for women of this generation, but also for the next generations as well.
So when you're talking about generation and the younger, this generation, they value women's economic activities. And the tendency is that more people, they encourage women to work and to develop their entrepreneurial activity. So we also need to further explore that to what extent this mindset of our young generation has changed and what needs to be changed in future, because they are changing now. So we have also learned that financial literacy and digital awareness is a missing element that needs to be addressed. And it would help women to to attain those skills that make them empower. Gender awareness and gender sensitivity needs to be promoted both for men and women in order to bring changes in the attitude and behavior. It should not be focused on one sex or one group of people. Both should be it should be targeted towards both men and women. The word empowerment, it has that has become very challenging, indigestible, and an unacceptable term for women in the context of Khyber Pakhtunkhwa. Whenever we talk about empowerment, men feel offensive. So initially, if the focus is on entrepreneurship, then it was a suggestion and the lesson learned that we should talk more about promoting and expanding and building the skills of entrepreneurship, rather like improving the condition of women entrepreneurs, rather than the position, the power relation, the unequal gender power relations, and these parts should be introduced at a later stage, not at the beginning of any program, so that men should not be threatened by the program. In this way, we can see that we can promote empowerment or the desirable outcomes what we want to achieve.
Thank you, Salma. That also connects to what many women have been sharing with me. So I have been talking to business women who always brought the example of Khadija, the Raziallahu Anha, the wife of Prophet, who was a successful businesswoman. And this has been such an important example for women from Indonesia, from Bangladesh, from Pakistan. For all of them, it was important to remind me that they looked up to her example as this successful businesswoman who was very much active in the promotion of Islam, but also she just had this huge empire. And then this also reminds me of a similar example from Bangladesh, where I read from Yulia Huang, who also highlights a similar situation where we need to think about not only the religious, but also the cultural sensitivities and how women are knit in, the women are in this context of a network, and sometimes the entrepreneurial ideas did not take care of how those women were situated in within a network. And when they were sometimes into this vicious cycle of microcredits, they were perceived by their fellows as selfish and money oriented, and then they lost the basis which was actually their strength throughout their careers before this microcredit and the money cycle came in, because most of the stuff was done as give and take within the network, a support group of women who always stood up for each other. And the way she explains it in her research is also very similar to what the results of your workshop were.
Okay, so where do we go from here? Our workshop has revealed a number of ways forward, but I think the two here are more important. First, there is a significant disconnect between academic and development thinking in with regard to empowerment through entrepreneurship, not only at the level of the application of different frameworks, but also in terms of perceiving women entrepreneurs attending to various issues such as the rural-urban divide and the women, the more educated and the uneducated women, the women in the online and the offline marketplaces. I think this is a significant area where the possibilities of alternative ways of doing things can be explored and promoted. The second most important way forward for us is the more focus on the financial management aspect of women's entrepreneurship, because we have seen in the past and we are seeing at present, not only in Pakistan, but in many other countries as well, that there's a lot of focus on establishing business, supporting business, measuring the success of the women entrepreneurial activities and so on and so forth. But in comparison to that, the financial management aspect of women's economic activities is often missing in these academic and development interventions. So this is an area for a sustained collaboration in the future, as well as for a significant in-depth research across different countries, so that we can share knowledge from between different countries of the Global South. And that's something that we find an area of collaboration in the future. So these are the most important ways forward. Before I wrap up, I think some of the limitations of our workshop also needs to be borne in mind. We organized an online workshop, and as I said, we wanted to have both asynchronous and synchronous activities, because we knew that it is in the very beginning phases. People are adapting to online ways of doing workshops and so on and so forth. So the participation from the academic side was very low in the workshop, and not at the asynchronous stage, but only at the synchronous stage. And part of the problem could be that people may want to engage more in face-to-face activities as opposed to online activities. Also, another important limitation of the workshop was that it was a limitation and a strength at the same time, but we wanted to organize three different groups simultaneously within the same workshop. And it was an interesting experience, but since we did not have the participation from the academia, we just had two academics who were also not directly related to the subject. So we collapsed the categories into one broader category and organized the activities around those. So the initial idea was not implemented in its entirety. So having said that, I would like to thank Dr. Faiza and Dr. Salma for collaborating with me on this workshop. And we would like to thank InFact for giving us this opportunity for organizing this workshop in the context of Pakistan and learning from other InFact members, both in the past, and we hope to learn from them in the future. And we hope that our findings would be also interesting for people working on entrepreneurship and the meaning of empowerment through entrepreneurship. The script of this podcast will also be available soon, and that would be in English, but we will also, we're trying to translate the script into another language, which would probably be in Urdu, so that the local people in Pakistan, with the collaboration of whom we developed this podcast and workshop, could also engage with the script of our workshop. So thank you so much once again. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Thank you very much.